So you might be saying to yourself, what did he just say? What did he just say? Well, now you're focused. The whole idea here is to remember, embrace. Chapter 16, revisit 1 through 15. They might save your life. Part 2, 9 through 16. Right? What'd I say? What do you say? Most of the time I say this is my testimony. But okay, let's get real. This stuff happens to everybody. These titles, they happen to everybody who's in charge or hopes to stay in charge. I happened to write it down. I thought it was for me. Well, good for me. Well, I find out it's good for you too, unless you don't remember it, unless you're not paying attention. Then there's a good chance history repeats itself. And history generally hasn't been good to those of us that were working on our own without God. There's a good chance history repeats itself. Yes, without remembering, I'm no different than Judas, Peter, when he failed Christ at the cross, Goliath, King Saul, Samson, name any of them, King David, the soldiers, Saul, before he became the Apostle Paul, Doubting Thomas, all of them, and many more. They're all written in there, and if I remember the jacked up decisions that are available to me and you, if I remember what I did back there, I'll do better. Otherwise, every name I just mentioned, and many more not mentioned who were in charge, just like me, the boss of a situation, because they forgot, if I don't remember, if they are my example, they didn't remember, and they lost everything, including their lives. Many of them lost their lives, albeit some in repentance could move forward, but who really needs to take the risk? At this point, we know if you just remember this stuff, things go better. For those who wrote an assignment, thank you for sharing with all of us. For those of you who do not have the time, I'm sure you have remembered every word of these teachings and the Bible scriptures, all 23,145 verses in the Old and 7,957 verses in the New Testament. Perhaps there is a fiery chariot scheduled for pickup. You and your family, the prophet Elijah, will be the coachman to drive all of you to heaven, right? Come on, get in the game. A door just shut, which means you need to mute your phone. We went through this last week. Come on, mute your phones. Check your phones and mute them. Come on. Come on, get in the game. Feel free to write something on your own. Or let me assist, keeping all notes and writings in a book. Why? I don't have time. Well, maybe God could find your writings and share it with someone who needs it at a crucial time in their lives. Wouldn't that be great? What about if your kids found it and read it? Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, it would. It would also be great if you, in a time of desperation, find your own notes. I find my own notes and remember that God has worked in my life. And he's already saved me, my family, many times over. And with faith, with absolutely, he will absolutely do it again. Oh, yeah, there will be a time when that may be critically necessary to survive. Oh, yeah, there will be a time that those notes will be laying on your desk at a necessary, insane asylum moment when all hell breaks loose in the life of you, a believer who is in charge. Cry out, I have done it. He is there. I know this. I've been there quite a number of times. Today I say the same thing for America. Psalm 83, oh God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, oh God. See how your enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind they plot together. They form an alliance against you. Oh, my God in heaven. That was written 3,000 years ago. And it is more accurate now than today's news. It is more accurate right now in this moment than today's news. This is happening right in front of us. This is scripture. Do you know if you could remember scripture and the stories in the book, how powerful that would be in your life? Chapters 1 through 9 is what could happen to you. We talked about it last week, both good and bad. What could happen to you? God kind of let it happen to you. Partnering with God kind of happens to you. Check your phones, mute your phones. Do I have to say this over and over again? Just pick it up and look at it. Partnering with God could happen, right? That would be good. But it did happen. It was good. The original blueprint could happen to you if you let him do it. The original blueprint of you, that would be good, right? Free fall. Many of you experience free fall. You lose your life's mission as you see it. You take that one step. That might not be good, right? Take that one step and you fall from everything that you thought was good and every decision you made that you thought was good, and you fall. Everything is at risk, everything, and you're about to hit the pavement, so to speak. You lose your life's mission as you see it. That might not be good. Or you might be saved from it. God might reach down and save you before you hit the pavement. That would be good, right? And then what? Well, then he says, wait a minute, line up and wait, meaning God has someplace for you to be. If you can be patient, which would be good, or not good if you don't wait. To recap 1 through 9, the Black Forest is the devil's temptation zone. Hell's soul negotiation on earth. Right now, we're negotiating for souls. Some think it's very good. This Beetlejuice, man. The promise and hope of money, property, and prestige simply for the trade of God and his second chance for you. Key word, liar. The devil is a liar. Make that trade, there are no guarantees, but that's too late. Time will be wasted, and so will many, unfortunately, who take the bait. Wasted. Don't take the bait of the Black Forest. Matthew 16, 26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, let's not do it. There's no guarantee you can get out once you get into the Black Forest. And if you die in the Black Forest, you've died without God. And there's really no fame and glory worth the trade, even if you get it temporarily. Even if you got fame and fortune temporarily. Have you seen the rock stars of the 80s? Do they look like they're still enjoying fame and fortune? Yeah, I don't think so, right? And then there's God's word as your primary weapon against all things. Coming up. Things can ruin everything. If you can remember God's word as your primary weapon. If you can pay attention right now to what I'm saying, you're hard. It's hard to pay attention. Try. Because moving right along, you have acceptance and integration. All good if I accept correct things, like my shortcomings, and I'm an idiot without God. If I integrate the correct things like God's grace, which includes his knowledge and wisdom, there is a great destiny and destination for me and you. God planned for each of us. But you can't have knowledge and wisdom. You can't have acceptance and integration unless you know what you're accepting and know what to integrate. Now, that was a great introduction for 16, part two. That was part one. That was just a little recap. Part two, if you're paying attention, is even more exciting. Sure, if you can't listen to it today, you can listen to it on Revelation22:21.com if you have the time. If you don't have the time to listen to me right now, if you can't focus right now, I wonder if that means you'll have time to listen later. Something to ponder. Wonder if you'll even bother listening later. I think about that. If you're not listening right now, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, if you're not listening right now, you don't even know there is anything to ponder. Hey, pay attention, kids. This might save your life. Chapter 16, part 2. These are things I can. Not things God can do, but things I can mess up. You see, everything before this, God let me go through, including saving me from the Black Forest, giving me discernment when I don't have any right to have discernment. But now, these are things I dreamed up all myself. The first 8, well, that happened to me. Now I can make some things happen. I got some power. Not things God can do. Oh no, I can kink up stuff and mess it up all by myself. It's even better. I can do things without God and mess it all up. And pay the price, by the way. Now this is my testimony, so you can say it doesn't pertain to you. But that would be a mistake, because it does. All of us do the same thing. You see, the devil uses the same tricks since the beginning, even before Adam and Eve.
What's that you say before Adam and Eve? What the heck are you talking about? What?
Yeah, true. Why, that guy talked a third of the angels into giving up their place in heaven forever. Now that's a salesman, buddy. Yeah, true story. That's a salesman. To talk people out of heaven? A third of the angels fell from heaven because of a bill of goods. The devil sold them a bill of goods. Yeah, true story. So 9 through 15, let's go. Stuff that happens to guys in charge. Number 9, the myth of stewardship. Simply put, I think I'm doing a great job. Perhaps even the poster child of holiness. In fact, maybe I'll start my own church. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not. When I think that way, I'm about to do something that's not a good idea. Okay? The myth of stewardship. I'm about to do something that isn't a good idea. 10, breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake. That's a good one. Breach of fiduciary duty. You ever hear that term, commit sin? Committing sin. Yeah, you get it? Committing. It's not a mistake. I planned it. The mistake is not saying I'm sorry and asking for the Lord's forgiveness. But I didn't make a mistake in sin. I committed to it. I planned it. To tell God I'm sorry, that's the mistake. Breach of fiduciary duty versus mistake. I can recover in a mistake if it hasn't killed me. I can say I'm sorry to God and, oh yeah, everybody else I hurt. Yeah, think about it. And moving on to 11, the overuse of scripture. Did you ever read Job? Job, boy, the oldest one in the book. Why, he had quite a few friends that sat with him through the worst time of his life. You know how they comforted him? They didn't. They used, however, very good scripture, very good teachings, truth, actually well said, and well-placed, well-spoken. And scripture is true. And they used it to completely misrepresent what was actually happening to Job. Not to console him, but to misrepresent and accuse him when he hadn't done anything. A man in desperate need of support, sick, left to die in a dump, lost 10 children in an accident and laid awake in pain for an untold amount of time. And they used scripture to call him a sinner. That's why he was experiencing this, which was not true. Misplaced power through his teachings, through God's teachings, to hurt rather than help. Oh yeah, Job was a rich man, blessed by God. Why'd they do that? Job was a rich man, blessed by God, and he lost it all. Gee, I wonder why they were so mean to him. By the way, in the end, as I said, they were wrong. They knew it. And God blessed Job many times over for his suffering. And now they knew that what they had done was right in their face. Why did God bless Job? He never gave up. He never gave up on God. Yeah. Number 12, the triangle and the sliding scale. A way of measuring how well we are handling the responsibilities God has given us. Yeah, but we can lie to the mirror all day, can't we? Who wants to take the time to correctly challenge the triangle? Come on, mind, body, spirit, I'm in good shape, I'm doing good. The sliding scale, come on, check daily? Are you kidding me? To ensure the triangle works perfectly? What do you think, I got time to do everything? You got time to take care of and enjoy all the blessings that God gave you, don't you? Check daily the sliding scale to ensure the triangle works perfectly. Yeah, who's got the time? A winner has the time, that's who. A winner has the time to understand that and listen to it. Number 13, the day he opened my eyes. How did I do this to me? I'm telling you, 9 through 15 is things that I did. Well, how did I open my own eyes? Well, I prayed and begged him to save my life. Before that, I didn't know how badly I needed him. Without the prayer, I'm not sure I'd have found him. Yeah, think about it. I hope he opens your eyes. I hope you have the time to look into this, embrace it, and use it to save your life and the lives of your children and your family and those you love. Number 14, where does judgment begin? Out of the mouth of dangerous people. Are you one of those people? Judgment has no prayer. You don't pray before you judge people. You just judge them. No solution. No solution, just judge them. Attack. Judgment is in violation of God's law. I'm not qualified to judge. I forget that, though, don't I? Neither is any other person or nation. But we do it anyway, don't we? The yield? We're on the brink of World War III because of judgment. We're on the brink of World War III because of judgment. Let's stick with prayer. Let's stick with assessment, not judgment. Assessment, obedience, listening to the Holy Spirit, praying about what we're going to do before we do it, doing it with the love of God like he loved you. When you needed to be judged, when you have nothing to deserve but judgment, when I have nothing to deserve except judgment. Listening to the Holy Spirit instead now, to the God that saved you, perhaps giving it another thought. Responsible things with God, doing responsible things with God rather than without. But I got to tell you, sometimes it's not so easy, especially in business, right? Matthew 7:1-6, do not judge or you will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Whoa! If that wasn't enough, there is another true scripture about the unforgivable sin, and it is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which for me lines right up with judgment. After all the Holy Spirit has given me, I don't even think about it. I just judge somebody else. Well, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is just saying he doesn't exist. After all the blessings you've been given, you've decided he doesn't exist. Think about that when you're voting. Long story short, judgment, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Let's stay away from this stuff. And finally, coming in at a rocket number 15, doing better than your best. I can't do better than my best without God. I always say my very best thinking can get me put in jail. I need to do much better than my best. To do that, I need to go all the way back to number one, partnering with God. What? Are you saying these things fit together? What? Starting to get the picture? These chapters fit together like a puzzle. Yeah. A puzzle that is very helpful in leading one to Scripture. Why? Because I'm brilliant, I put them together? No, I wrote these when I could barely pay attention. I'm sure you're familiar with that. So who wrote them? The Lord put the pen in my hand and held me up. Why did I write them? Because I wanted to help people? Oh my goodness, no, I didn't have a thought about helping anybody else. I wanted to write down what I had seen so that I didn't forget it, so I could make me rich and famous. Yeah, get it? Even after being born again, I still have old ways of thinking that that patiently the Lord breaks away from me. Galatians 3:24. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Check your phone for muting. Check your phone so people can hear. And now you're talking. Mute your phone so I can say scripture and everybody can hear it. Galatians 3:24. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now you're turning pages in a book. Please mute your phone. Please look. Please look. The only reason you wouldn't look at your phone is because you're not listening. Galatians 3:24-29, verse 25. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. Get that? This faith has come. We're no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. I'm wearing God. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that God gave Abraham that he would bless all of his descendants. That's you, man. You've inherited that through Jesus Christ. All right. What else comes with this little ditty? Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. On you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Oh, wow. Doesn't that sound better than whatever power and glory you were thinking of or something, or whatever you were thinking of? God says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When's that happen? When you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. He rose from the dead to save my sins. How can I do that and still call myself a Christian? Well, I got to tell you. Well, what do I mean by that? It means I still got old ways of thinking. Do you know that hell's hard to get into? You got to be committed. You got to believe in yourself every day without God. Yeah, you got to be committed to get it. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. You got to be committed. We're not here to have a good time. We're here to lead God's people to the Word. I can do that and still call myself a Christian? How do I do that? How? Why? Who has time for the book every day, church and ministry? That's how I make the mistake as a Christian. As a Christian, how do I make mistakes? Who has the time for the book every day, church and ministry, helping others? Come on, I'm trying to help myself. God knows that. He made me the way I am. He knows who I am. I'm doing the best I can. Best I can doesn't do very good, does it? We've already talked about that. You got to do better than your best. Can't do that without God. If you don't have time for God, how are you going to exact God's wisdom if you don't have time for him? Isn't it enough that I drive a very expensive automobile? Doesn't we see that God's blessing me because I'm so holy and live in a very expensive house? Doesn't everybody see that? Why do I have to do all this other stuff? Look, it takes a lot to work all the time. I got to get my piece of the action. Why isn't that enough of an example of God? Do we say that? Yeah. Do we mean it that way? Do we really hear ourselves saying that? Look in the mirror. Is America saying that right now? Is America giving Christ the glory for all the riches we have here? Or are they just saying, let's just spend the inheritance. Party on, Garth. Best remember that when they talk about end times, and we talk about the Bible and war, pestilence, it's happening right now. This isn't like the 1800s, the 1600s, the 1300s. This isn't the time of the apostles. This is thousands of years later, and what's in that book is happening right now. Best you pay attention. We're only as important as God will allow. Thank you, Jesus. So what do I say? 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of the faith. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Oh, yeah, baby, dig that. Chapter 16, revisit 1 through 15, 2024. Could you recall any of what I said today? I don't know. You might want to learn how to do that, but without notes, commitment to practicing my memory, paying attention when it's happening. How do you remember something when you weren't paying attention in the first place? The Bible's understanding of the importance of Scripture. Do you have that? Do you know that? Could you pull a Scripture? Can you have a story? I am a witness to both me and the world over the last 40 years, and I see what damage I can do without remembering these stories. These notes remind me of the terror and grief caused by entitlement and stupidity in myself. When I was born again, I didn't see the truth right away, but I did see the evil in the mirror and all around me. And I didn't want that anymore. And neither do you. For the amateurs, the saying goes, common sense is not so common and stupid is very expensive. Everybody laughs. That's so true. Common sense is not so common and stupid is very expensive. Oh, it's so true. It's so true. That's such a cute little saying. That's for the amateurs. For the professionals, common sense is not popular and stupid will kill you. For the professionals, common sense is not popular and stupid will kill you. These are simple observations of a traveler, me, walking a road with a Bible, a pair of glasses, and a flashlight. It's dark out here, kids. Without God, I got no light. Before we move on to chapter 17 next week, do yourself a favor. before we get to chapter 17, take a look at chapter 16. Write a note. Pass it along. You know how powerful I just said that? You know how powerful that sentence was? Before we move on to chapter 17, take a look at chapter 16. Write a note and pass it along. Proverbs 3:1-2. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Sounds like a pretty good trade. All you got to do is study a little bit, right? Proverbs 7:1-3. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. You might say to yourself, look, Pat's such a drama. I wonder why he does all this. I wonder why he thinks it's such a big deal. I wonder what inspires him to talk like that. Why would I want you to know this? Why do I want to know this? Because I want to be a piece of the action. Because God's action can use each and every one of us in a mighty way. What scripture do I have for that?
Oh, there's a lot of them. You know, you do the right thing and everything. And, oh, you know, and God can help, blah, 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 blah. Well, I've heard it a million times.
I've heard my kid talk like that to me. But this one is what keys my heart, brother and sisters. Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I want to be that. I want to be that. You want to be that. God is that. In closing, remember, embrace the information. Endorse the Lord's work. Chapter 16, part 2, 9-16. Be engaged, kids. Be engaged. Amen. John, would you please take over? I need a little sip of coffee.